Welcome to the Two Hosters Buddha Show.
Who are you?
Sarah Shorts.
Love it.
Maybe try that one again. Without stopping, because we don't want it to take too long to say it. So just right into the microphone and then see if you can say it all together.
Okay. Welcome to the Two Hosters Photo Show. This is Sarah Shorts.
That's awesome. Adam, you're out.
Yeah. new host.
Yeah. That's it. New host. How's your schedule? Can you free up some time every week?
Can you? Can you set aside some time to do the podcast with Al every week? He's kicking me off the podcast.
Stay up really late, Sarah.
Yeah.
You're in.
All right. Bedtime for you, buddy.
Hello and welcome to episode 131 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, BC.
I had a drink of water right there while you said that.
Vancouver, I did it BC. Fast this time. I'm trying to mix it up.
Yeah, that's good.
I abbreviated. Instead of British Columbia, I said BC. Did you catch that?
Oh, I didn't.
Oh.
I like it better.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I know what BC means, though.
Yeah, no, I'm going to use BC from now on.
And unless you played for Boston College, it only means one thing.
That's right.
Or a long, long time ago.
That's true.
Yeah, so this does mean a few different things.
Right.
So people might think you're from you're a time traveler.
I didn't think of that, but...
Yeah.
I think I'd rather be a time traveler.
Than play for Boston College?
Yeah.
I think one is probably pretty lucrative.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The Boston College part, right?
Either one. I think you could probably monetize time travel quite well.
Okay.
Yeah. Real quick, Amazon, I want to remind everybody, but I don't think we need to remind everybody.
Okay.
People seem to be buying it, buying stuff on Amazon through us as it is. And they tell us about it, which I appreciate.
Awesome.
It's nice. So keep up the good work. And for those uninitiated, if you do buy things.
Is anyone saying, oh, yeah, I just bought stuff on eBay. Heh heh.
Yeah, people get a lot of those emails. Yeah.
I saw it was listed cheaper on Amazon, but I decided to just, stick it to the man and buy it on eBay.
That's right. Yeah, I went down to the brick and mortar. They didn't have what I wanted. I just bought something else. But, what are you into? Right. Yeah. So there's that. Anyway, click on the link through our site. Much appreciated.
Great.
Did you buy a new 70D?
No, I was. You know what? You read my mind. I was actually just gonna say, hey, have you checked out the 70D?
I was going to ask you, hey, what's going on? And then I was like, oh, there's no way he's gonna answer. Did you see the 70D?
Yeah. Well, I actually haven't looked at it, but I was talking to Dwayne, and he was mentioning it, and it sounds pretty awesome. But I haven't really looked at the specs or anything.
Oh, the deal is, if you have a 60D,
yeah,
it's a piece of junk. you might as well. If I had a 60D. I wouldn't even use it to hold down paper in a windy office.
Right.
Yeah. It's just the pictures are terrible that come out of it.
Yeah.
No. In all honesty, I've watched a little bit of it. I think it's the major upgrades are for video, from what I understand.
New sensor though, right? Like a completely new sensor that's supposed to be the cat's pajamas.
Oh, I know. Because the ones I've been using are just a dog's breakfast. They're just awful. Like I can barely make out the images.
Right.
Yeah.
They got to sell stuff though. They got to move units.
They got to move units, and this is what it is. Something to do with split pixel focusing. Something they're calling.
Yeah.
It.
I don't really know what any of that means, but it sounds awesome.
I watched one of the videos about shooting video with it, and it's supposed to make autofocus for video much better,
which they keep saying, right?
They keep saying. That's why the thing is, it's everything's a grain of salt with this. So Although the features they did display looks pretty promising.
Right.
Like you can do rack focus. You know what rack focus is?
No, go ahead and tell me.
Okay, like when like you see it in the movies every once in a while where like they're focused on something very close to the camera, and then as the focus, then they'll then shift the focus to something in the background.
Yes, I know what that is. I didn't know what it was called, but
now you do. Now you can talk about racking focus.
Okay,
but now you can rack
new
focus.
New meaning to the nice rack terminology.
So you can do like a rack focus just by simply touching the touch screen on the back of the camera.
Oh, okay.
That's something. And it looks to actually not just do it, it looks to do it rather smoothly too.
Cool.
From what they're showing. I don't know if that's, you know, real
someone world. Who really knew what they were doing though, and then they just made it look that way.
It who knows? Who knows? I saw a video where there was an invisible camera that so don't believe everything you see.
Right.
But it does look promising. I see the issue of, you know, you don't want to be bumping the camera while you're trying to focus.
Right.
But I guess they're expecting that you're going to have a pretty steady tripod, which will mitigate that problem. But I didn't see anything about the rolling shutter, like the Jell-O effect.
Right, right.
So I'm assuming that's still there. And to me, that is the real big buzzkill. Everything else is just window dressing. For my own use. I mean, granted, I don't do autofocus, but that's really the one big thing that's getting in the way of these cameras being fantastic.
Okay.
Super fantastic, because they are fantastic.
They are fantastic, yeah. Yeah.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I shot some Canada Day stuff. That's about that and a few pictures at the beach. We went away to my parents'. Visited in Sydney, BC. So we went for a visit there and, yeah, I took some pictures down at the beach and some Canada Day, you know, sort of sitting at the parade.
Do they have
photos.
An opera house in Sydney, BC?
Do they have what?
An opera house?
No, not
like
that
they should
I know.
Have. They should build like a 1/10 replica of the opera house and just put it out. Because they're on the ocean as well.
Yes.
That would be, I think if I was the mayor of Sydney, that's what I would do.
You know what? I'll put it in the suggestion box at the town hall the next time I'm there.
Yeah.
The best thing about the parade, though, because we've been to a number of Canada Day parades, and start to finish, this one, 1 hour. The best thing ever.
Oh, right, because the one in Steveston is...
Forever.
Yeah.
2.5 days by the time that one finishes.
Yes.
But one hour, and start to finish.
It's not like they jam it with good stuff at the end either. And so by the end, it's just like, I think it's just people who kind of wandered into the street. Oh, hey.
Make a float. Going, here you go.
We're going this way. Yeah, people just, sure. That's not even a float. That's a Yaris. What is going on?
Yeah, so we really enjoyed it. There was a ton of people, and the other nice thing is there was parking all over the place, free, and a million little ways out of there, so you didn't get stuck for, you know, ever trying to leave the area after it was all done. So in and out, and, you know, parade for an hour. It was beautiful. I really enjoyed it. So yeah, that's what we did, and. Did some,
that was your Canada Day. So what'd you shoot on Canada Day?
I took a few pictures of the kids watching the parade mostly, mm-hmm. and then took a few pictures of the actual parade. I don't know why, just sometimes do. I like the guys on the mini scooters, whatever the men's club
Shriners.
Is. That, yeah, I just always seem to take a picture of those guys because, I don't know, the hats are neat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Didn't take a lot of photos of the parade itself. Just kind of sat and enjoyed it. But I did snap a few pictures of the kids. And we have this annual tradition where before the parade starts, you know, you're there early, getting a spot. The kids like to hit the middle of the parade route and run back towards us. And they did this a few times. So that's just the race tradition. So I snapped a couple of pictures of them because it kind of looks like, you know, they're in the street and you've got all the people lined up to watch the parade. And so the middle is empty. And they like to run through that laneway.
Right.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's mini parade.
Another tradition to pack Bactine in the bag?
Yeah.
In case they wipe out?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because they didn't this time, but I would not put it past them.
Right. I could see that being a, oh boy.
Oh, and the other thing I did is I got that other set of triggers. So I finally got the other triggers, and I got, like, I think I told you the last time that I was getting another 430 EX2. I don't know if I had it for the last podcast or not.
You didn't have it yet, no.
But I have both now. So I have the two 430 EXs and the two sets of triggers. And so I fooled around a little bit with the in-camera ability to control all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is super fantastic. Cannot All right. say how awesome it is. So you can go ETTL on both flashes and change, you know, they have like a ratio control. So on the triggers, the Yongnuo triggers, you can set like A, B, C groups. So mm-hmm. you can put flash number one is group A and flash number two is B. And then you can, in manual control, just change them completely independently just by, you know, like one, tabbing down one, and you can change all the power settings. If you go manual, if you go ETTL, it'll, you know, do the best it can based on where they're set up. But then you can change it and say, I want a 4-to-1 ratio of A versus B. And it's awesome. And that then if you want to add a third flash that is an ETTL, then you can basically just set it on that same channel, like let's say channel B, and then just have it fire at whatever power you preset. So it's pretty easy to mix the ambient and the manual flashes with ETTL, and gorgeous. And
even cooler than that. Well, as cool. Let's not rank the coolness here. As cool as that is, now that you have two ETTL flashes, you can double them up into the same umbrella.
Yeah.
And shoot some ETTL or some high speed sync outside off camera.
Right, with just more juice.
And with more power to it.
Yeah, and that's definitely something that I will make use of it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I just thinking for the possibilities of just run and gun with, you know, two different people holding two flashes and outside in the sun with no setup and just, you know, fire away and get just some cool effects and let the camera figure it out. And for the most part, I've been super happy with one camera outside, either ETTL or high speed sync ETTL, of what it gives back are pretty impressive. But yeah, thing lacking is just power out in that situation.
Right.
Yeah.
I think family day at the park is going to be great. Oh, good. Daddy's gone insane.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. We definitely, when I say we, I mean I and my kids just kind of moan and groan. But we had some fun on the weekend with me kind of toying around with the camera.
They'll moan and groan until they compare their photos with their friends.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, wow. You have a whole book here. It's like your own National Geographic.
Yeah. So now I think I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to pack it in as a physiotherapist and become a Yongnuo salesman. So it's just something I believe in now. So I should contact Yongnuo and just say how happy I am with the product, but instead I just keep preaching it to people on the podcast. And
yep.
People have been listening. Again, I stand nothing to gain from this. Just mm-hmm. that I want to share my love of just, you know, how awesome this system is and how cheap it is. It's crazy. Now I have those other cactus triggers. Anyone want them? You know, I'll start taking emails from people about who wants a set of Yongnuo triggers. You pay for the shipping, and then
cactus triggers.
That's what I meant. Cactus triggers. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to be collecting dust. Maybe your dad wants them.
I think he might have them, but let me ask. Let me ask my sister as well. I think. She,
All right.
I think,
before I just flat out give them away on the internet.
Yeah, we should have talked about this off the air.
Yeah, now it's live, so we're going to... You know what? Our email box is filling up right now.
It is. we've also moved a few units on Amazon, by the way.
Awesome.
Of the triggers, so...
Oh, of the Yongnuos?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So it's all coming around Amazon.
It's paying off, yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. I had Canada Day here in Germany...
Do they celebrate it in full-fledged in Germany?
No, but I do. I do.
Okay.
Because I miss it. You know, I miss Canada Day. So I went to the pool, took a photo there, and then just barbecued some salmon and made sure to snap some photos of that.
Did you have a Canadian flag Speedo so everyone in Germany knew you were Canadian?
Yes. Of course.
Yeah. All right.
I'm just recounting this story about the barbecue part and thinking the question was, did you shoot anything interesting?
Well, you in a Canada flag Speedo at the pool.
That part was interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I wore it on my head. So and then last week we had Emily's birthday party.
Right.
So that was exciting. I wanted to ask you a little bit. First of all, I shot the usual stuff, some portraits with me and her and with Mama and that. And, you know, I took her to the playground one day by myself.
Right.
And so I shot a bunch of pictures that day. And then there's the, you know, the party and all that stuff. And for the second year in a row, I made her birthday cake. Now, I made her birthday cake from scratch, and I haven't done the decorating yet, so I don't want to get into a discussion about decoration, because I know you're the master.
Right.
She doesn't really care about Sonic the Hedgehog yet.
Okay.
But I did make and do the frosting and all that, her cake. And last year, when I did that, I photographed that cake, like, from every possible angle. Like, there was no bit of that cake that was not documented the night before when I was like, wow, okay, here's the cake I made, you know?
Right.
This year, made a similar cake, forgot to photograph it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, is it oh, no? I don't think it's oh, no.
Oh, you need to have that cake picture every year, I think.
Well, we got one, like, my wife snapped one of me and with Emily blowing the candles out. So we have a picture
fine.
Of the cake.
You're fine then. Yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I didn't go and document that cake.
Okay. I think that's just become an automatic, but I don't think that we really have done anything with the cake on its own picture. We do take
right.
it, but it's always, you know, the kid blowing out the candle picture that you keep.
That one, no question. No question. Yeah. But what my question to you is, I mean, of course, this is the guy who just bought more flash triggers, but is it normal? Because the first year, photographed like crazy. Now I'm scaling it back. I think it's more responsible.
What for? You mean the actual party itself?
No. Like the night before, like not having to document every little thing.
Oh yeah. No, absolutely not. Yeah. No, I think that's just the first birthday thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely the night before. There is not much point to doing that. I think I might have done that on the very first birthday cake just because, again, it took a long time, the cake I made, and I just was proud of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to, I think my wife wanted to send a picture of the cake to her mom, and I sent one to my mom.
Wait, did you decorate the very first cake?
I've done all of them, yeah.
I know, but in terms of, like, I saw the last one you did.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, you know, a piece of art, I guess. But,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was the first one the same amount of effort?
They've all been a lot of effort, yeah.
I
almost retired because of all the effort.
Oh, see, when she's one, I can't imagine it.
Yeah, no, we did it. The whole board, every year has been a production with the cake.
Oh, okay, so that's on you then.
Yeah. No, I do enjoy the end result, but it is a process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, I understand that. No. Now, let's get, now the next hour of the show will just be all about cakes.
Yeah.
And I have, oh, believe me, I got rants about cakes here, man. We go to people's houses. I think if I talked about this before, I don't know.
I'm going to ask for a camera cake for my next birthday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. We go to people's houses and everyone here makes a cake, right? Like all the wives make cakes for coffee and whatnot.
Okay.
Or someone's birthday. Or like you go to someone's house, you're having cake. That's what's
okay.
happening.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're in Germany. What kind of cake would you expect?
Like a German chocolate cake?
That's not unreasonable, is it?
No, I don't think so.
No, it never happens. Never. Half the time it happens. Never. Everyone wants to make, oh, it's my peach flan that I made. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? We're in Germany.
Is that just a falsehood that there is a such thing as a German chocolate cake?
No, I don't think so.
Is it a real cake?
Well, I suppose.
Or they just make it in Canada.
I don't know. I it might be one of those things that they just call chocolate cake here. They probably don't add the German to it.
Do you think they have Swedish meatballs in Sweden, or are they just meatballs?
Well, they're horse, but... Wow, that's current. It's about an 8-month-old joke, isn't it? I don't know. If they probably don't call. They just probably call it meatballs, I assume.
Right.
You know?
Or they don't even eat them there.
I don't know. I've never been to Sweden.
Yeah, I went, and I don't remember any meatballs.
Right. Well, there you go. A lot of fish. Anyways, I forget my point. My point is make chocolate. I made chocolate cake for her birthday because I like chocolate cake.
You know what? The complaint that we got last week about not having like some upfront like photo tips.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of back there now, aren't we?
Yeah. I'm okay with it.
Okay.
All yeah. Right. I forget the guy's name, but yeah. I'm all that worried. Anyways, so yeah, I did that. Oh, and I made alphabet burgers too.
Great.
Big hit. Those are the big hit with the kids, man.
Yeah. They're like, you know, like the size of 4 hamburgers.
No. I've honed my technique down.
Okay.
What do you mean size of 4 hamburgers?
They're huge.
Are you joking?
No, they're massive.
I think you're sorely mistaken. They're always very small for the,
really?
I mean, for the kids.
Oh. The ones I looked huge in the photos.
Oh, no. I was just standing very close. Okay. No, the M's are actually large because just the nature of it, which you'd think, well, why is the E small but the M is large? I don't know. I can't tell you that. it's the nature of it. But the kid who ate the M, forget. Doesn't matter. Who cares? Point is, I make each of the kids that come to the party,
right?
They get a they get their first initial made into the hamburger.
Okay.
Yeah. So
great.
I'll post it. The kids love them though.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Hey, their kids are very self-centered.
That's right. And good at spelling. So eggs of Oku from last week.
All right, I've been waiting to hear this.
Yeah, we were talking about what is the... I think I bumped the mic just now for like the 19th time. Sorry, guys. I'll stop doing that.
Okay.
We talked about focal length. So mine was the sunset picture of my wife and I. That was at 50 millimeters.
Okay.
Adam's was the ballerina shot, and that was also at 50 millimeters.
Great.
Wasn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, sure, yes.
You used your 50 mil. I thought it was 85 at first.
Yeah, it kind of does look like that. I agree.
Yeah.
Just the depth of field is very, very shallow.
It is, and everybody looks good in it, and everybody being Sarah. And yeah. So that was 50 millimeter.
Oh, and speaking of you know, 85 millimeter, all the photos I took on the weekend were on the T2i with the 85 millimeter. So
this week's Exif Oku, we're doing focal length again. So if you're listening...
No, not my challenge photo.
Oh, okay.
Although I can't remember, but no, just my Canada Day photos is what
I meant. Okay. Oh, yeah. So when you went to the Canada Day parade, you only brought the...
Yeah, that's all I used was 85 millimeter on the T2i.
Is that all you brought?
No, I had other lenses.
Oh, okay, but...
I just was not, again, I went there to observe the parade, and so I wasn't changing lenses. I was just, if I took a picture, it was with that setup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's nice. What I use. And again, which, you know, can be pretty tight, because whatever, do the conversion, it's your 100 plus millimeters, right?
Right. Right. No, it's good to do. I like doing that and just keep it all very, very simple and not have to worry about a whole lot of gear.
Yeah.
Just to enjoy the parade.
Just enjoy the parade.
Yeah, that's what I recommend.
All right, there's a photo tip there.
Photo tip. We snuck that in at the 42
enjoy
mark.
The parade.
Yeah, enjoy. I'm not paying attention now. Because this is completely off book.
Okay.
Yeah, what you're talking about.
Okay.
So I'm just going to sit back and let you get the show back on track. Challenge this week.
Photo challenge, that's right.
Now, you issued it, so you talk about it.
It was a animal. Take a picture of an animal. That's what I issued.
Do you wish you hadn't issued it now?
No, I have no problem with the issue.
Oh, okay.
Why, you don't like my photo?
Did you use... Wow. Did you use Lens Baby?
No.
That was your idea, though. You said, hey, I'm gonna try to incorporate the Lens Baby.
Yeah. You know what? I played with the Lens Baby for, I don't know, maybe half an hour. It wasn't for me. I found it way too difficult to get anything in sharp focus.
Yeah.
So... Again, it's just like you push the lens around. I don't know. Have you ever used one?
No.
So, you know, I didn't really know, having no experience with it. You have these little magnetic rings that are sort of the different apertures. So you put it on, and I started with the 2.8 and could get nothing ever in sharp focus. So I kind of got frustrated. I tried. I talked to Dwayne. I asked him, and he said he usually, you know, if he uses it, he's around 5.6. So I went to, I tried the 5.6 and still had no real success in anything being in sharp focus. So I would imagine you would have to practice with this quite a bit in mm-hmm. order to, because it didn't seem like the, when you looked through and you saw where you thought focus was, it didn't seem like it was 100% bang on in that spot. So I think there's a bit of a learning curve, and I just didn't, I didn't give it enough time. And yeah, so I basically packed it in and gave the lens back to Dwayne.
And just this thing is broken.
Yeah. No, it's not that. It wasn't for me.
Right. You didn't try Live View. Maybe Live View would have been a good way to go.
I didn't, no.
Yeah,
no,
that might have been something. I've never used it myself, but people do seem to like them and have fun with them.
Yeah, so again, not for me. Someone who out there who's good at it, maybe you can tell me if there's a trick, but again, it probably won't matter because I'm probably never going to use one again. That's my upsell on the Lens Baby. I'm sure the Lens Baby people are now calling and wanting to be sponsors of our show.
A bunch of them quit and now work for Young Nuo. Yeah.
So anyways, yeah. So pet was the challenge. Let's get this thing back on the rails.
Pet was pet. No, animal.
Oh, sorry. Animal.
It was specifically not pet because I was going to shoot somebody's pet.
Well, I said it could be an animal. A pet is an animal.
Yes, I know. But to me, when I went through and thought about all this, I thought, oh, man, I think pet would be sort of a little bit of a cop-out.
Right.
So anyway, let's talk about yours. Speaking of cop-out.
Okay.
No, I'm just joking. That's
no. My brother-in-laws have a farm, and so when we were out in Victoria,
I knew there was something about this. I knew you knew you were going. Your brother-in-law had a farm. This was a deck stacking.
They had some horses and they have some donkeys, and specifically these are miniature donkeys. And so I kind of just wanted a miniature donkey photo. I took a few pictures of the horses, and some of them I liked, and the colors were different, and you know the background is very different. But I don't know, something about the lines. Like I took a picture of the donkey, and I liked how its head was sticking through the fence, and I liked just all the different horizontal and vertical lines. Like that's kind of, to me, it became about the lines more than the actual donkey itself, but it kind of, you know, it worked in the composition for me. And I liked, it was right midday sun, so you get some of the shadows cast across the donkey. But I don't know, I just kind of, I liked how it was positioned. And so I took the shot, and I was like, okay, that's the photo challenge. I'm not going to say that I spent a lot of time in the setup. This is all ambient light. But again, I think it just, to me, it was just a shot that I thought worked. So if I probably spent a lot more time, I probably could have gotten something better. I'm not going to debate that, but I'm perfectly happy with my submission this week.
Yes, I did put a note on nothing, just in my head, that when I saw it, I did notice all the lines.
Yeah, just it's kind of, I don't know, I kind of thought it was neat.
Yeah, no, that definitely is a good part of it. Other than that, it's, you know, meh.
Yeah, you're not saying anything that I didn't expect you to say. I just, you know, I felt bad because I've won the last few photo challenges.
Right.
So I thought I would put one on a tee for you and really let you have this one.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I was kind of getting embarrassed for you.
Yeah, no, I understand that. You know, and I was all prepared to just go off on your photo, but I'm like...
Yeah,
I'm not gonna slam dunk on the kid in the wheelchair. I mean,
I'm not sure that's appropriate.
Why? You don't like basketball?
Let's just talk about your photo. Let's talk about your Rembrandt here.
The kid in the skiing accident, or in the wheelchair, was in a skiing accident, Adam.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
What your problem is. Yeah, well, I went out, once I saw this, I was like, wow, I could just leave my lens cap on and at least tie Adam, you know, be a dead heat. Worst case, I don't show up, we don't do the podcast this weekend, and I still finish second with him.
Still, it's a push.
Yeah, it's no matter, pretty much I can't mess this up. Because when you did issue this challenge, I was like, all right, I know, this sounds like a stacked deck, like you're going somewhere animal-y. And so I was like, all right, so right. Adam knows he's going to have at least 12 photos, like, you know, the minute he gets off the ferry.
Right.
And so I was like, oh boy, I better step it up. And so, wow, was I wrong. But anyways, when I went out last night, I've been trying all week to get some photos. And I've taken quite a surprisingly high number of animal photos, just in general, like just like we happen to be at a petting zoo as well.
Okay.
Last weekend, and I didn't love anything there. Like I didn't get it. I wanted some nice interaction of my daughter and an animal, but nothing just really worked out. Or there'd be people in the background or something like that. So I didn't use any of those. Couldn't get shots. Let's cut to the end where it gets slightly more interesting.
Okay.
I went out to went for a drive last night. Waited till sunset. Well, just before sunset, went out for a drive to like a horse farm, or stables, or I don't know what the heck they call them when they're outside.
Okay.
Out in this big field, and it's really cool looking, and we had some kind of interesting looking weather, and I thought, oh, this is gonna be great. Like I'm gonna bring a flash, and I'm gonna light this. I'm gonna light the horse. You know, even though it's probably not the greatest idea, because I always see horses wearing blinders, so that must be for a reason.
Right.
So me flashing a light in their eye, probably not going to be awesome. But, you know, not my horse. So I go out there and I get all set up and the sky's awesome. Take a quick test shot, get the sky dialed into where I want it, and then get the flash set up. And now it's a pretty big pen. Like there's a whole bunch of different pens. And there's this horse is out there in the field. And I'm trying to call the horse. And first I'm like, horsey, horsey. Then I realize when I'm in Germany, so it speaks German, if anything. So I'm like, Pferd, Pferd, Entschuldigung, Pferd. And he was not participating.
Right.
So then I'm like, how do you call a horse? I didn't bring an apple or anything like that.
Right.
Which I should have done. But I'm like doing like these little click, click noises and tapping my leg with my hand. You know, like that's horse shorthand for come here. Nothing. Horse did not move.
Right.
So eventually, like so I'm ready to take the shot. I feel like the horse is about to come over, and the owner, I assume it's the owner, not just some random guy. The owner comes out, jumps in there, grabs the horse, and basically takes him away. Just leads him off to the stables.
Right.
Doesn't even give me a wave, like a heads up, like, hey, sorry, man, horse is bedtime. Nothing. Just no eye contact, just I'm taking my horse and going.
Yeah, home. He wants to get it away from the crazy guy that's going to flash the lights in its face.
Yeah, but he'd probably get a good picture out of the deal, though.
That's true. He doesn't know that.
Well, yeah, he does know. Look at me. Okay. No, I mean, I have an off-camera flash. How many people show up to shoot your horse with a off-camera flash?
That's true. You should have known.
Not Billy Martin, that's for sure.
Right.
That's a funny story. Google that. Google a Billy Martin horse story.
Okay. You know what? I'll Google it right now while you finish this story.
Billy Martin, Mickey Mantle. Yeah. So, anyways, so I had to regroup. I enjoyed the lighting in that photo. I thought, oh, man, that would have been awesome. But wasn't to be, so I moved on down the road to where I knew there would be goats.
Okay.
So, despite wanting to shoot horses, I shot goats, and here is a goat. Go.
You know what? I really like this photo, but you know what it makes me think of?
Goats.
No, not at all. It makes me think what would that picture be if you photoshopped out the horn?
I don't know.
It's a dinosaur. It looks like a T-Rex. If you Photoshop that horn out, that is a dinosaur. It's the angle that it shot up because it looks huge from that angle. But if you take the horn out, I just saw like the little thumbnail at first, and I thought, you know, you were at a dinosaur park, and then when I opened it up, I'm like, oh, it's a goat. But then I look at it and I just cover that horn. It's a dinosaur. Just the way it's the lighting, it looks like a dinosaur. Everything, the angle from the trees, it's a dinosaur. So I don't know. You turned a goat into a dinosaur.
All right. Yeah, that's what I was trying to do.
How do you do that? How do you turn a goat into a dinosaur? You should write a book about that.
I'm already started. Yeah, it's called Goat Park.
I was gonna say Goatosaurus. No, it is a cool looking lighting photo. I like how you got the rim light and the light kind of on its. I guess I don't know. Do goats have shoulders? I'm guessing that's a shoulder.
I'll bet you they call it shank.
Okay, the shank, and then just how you just got that one kind of strip of light across its eye. It's definitely a cool looking shot.
You have to shoot a few when you shoot with animals. That's the trick.
That's where I went wrong.
Yeah, you went to the one and walked away. No. When you're shooting in this situation, I mean, first of all, it was I brought the sunset with me. That's obviously not the sunset, so that's a flash on half power, a bare flash on half power with full CTO on it.
Okay,
off to camera right, and what else? What else do we do? That's the gist of it. You know, underexposed.
So is it one light?
One light.
Really? So how did you get the light on the one side of its neck and body and still get the eye?
It had just turned enough so that it kind of caught it. That part of the eye just got caught by the light. Like the goat had just looked towards the light enough so that it was just feathering across and it would wrap around.
Yeah, because without catching any of the rest of its face.
Right. It's just the angle the goat's at.
Yeah.
It's fortuitous. That's what I mean. You have to shoot a lot because, and first of all, this camera is essentially laying on the ground. Like, it's so low that I couldn't even get behind it and see when I was shooting this particular one. I had to line it up and then drop the camera below because just I wanted to get that dark sky in.
Right.
And if I didn't drop the camera down, I was going to get much more of the trees. So that's why you shoot a few. The problem is at half power, you don't get the recycle time. You can't just bang them off like on rapid fire. You have to wait between each shot for the flash to recycle.
Okay.
So anyway, that's the goat.
That's photo. Awesome. Dino goat.
Dino goat. So Exifoku for these. Mine was ISO 320. I shot it at an f5 and a shutter speed of 1/160th on a full frame camera. What was the focal length? That's what we want to know. Adam shot his on a crop sensor, ISO 100, also f5, at 1/800th of a second. So what was the focal length on his, even though he may have already given it away? That's okay.
It's not going to matter. Nobody's trying to reproduce mine.
No, I'm sure you're not going to get some emails from the young Nuo people on this one.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a call from Goat Magazine. No, mine is Miniature Donkey Magazine.
I'll bet you there is a Miniature Donkey Magazine.
There probably is.
Yeah. You know what? I was going to say, you know what would have sort of, I wouldn't say save your photo. Nothing wrong with your photo, but what would have made it more interesting is if you'd had some context in there, like if you'd had your kids in there.
Yeah, and I did have some pictures with kids in there, but I said pet photo or animal photo, and so I didn't include anything that was, you know, my kids are super cute, and so that's cheating, you know.
Right.
So I didn't.
That's good.
That.
And your kids are in it an awful lot, so.
Yeah, you know. I kind of figured I'd give the miniature donkey center stage there.
Yeah. This week's topic, photo projects. Nothing to do with donkeys or horses or goats.
Awesome.
Yeah. But we've had some people ask about it, and I thought about it, and it's it is a very interesting and important topic.
Okay.
Because you see them a lot, these photo... Like, when I say photo project, it's when you kind of assign yourself some project for fun. slash learning, where you're going to go out and, well, I think you get the idea at this point.
You're going to do a project.
Good night, drive safe. No, a lot of people do them. Like for instance, one of the popular ones is people post on Flickr is to do like the 365 project, where they go out and you take one picture every single day.
Right.
Now, I can't imagine. I can't. That's not for me, that one. Have you seen those before?
Yes. I haven't gone along and looked at people's pictures for every day, but I've seen the idea.
Yes. Nor have I. I haven't been keeping up. I think that would be the idea, that you know, tune in every day and see what that person's up to, or I suppose. But in general, photo projects, I highly recommend them. I think they're a great idea. It's a great kickstart. I did one myself a couple years back, because I don't know how, you know, I think you could probably find yourself in a creative rut. Like, you keep shooting the same thing over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in your case, you know, it would have been your kids. So they're doing different things and growing up and all that stuff. So that's okay. But if you don't have kids, and you know, I think a lot of people can relate to this, is, you know, you're shooting photos of everything within a 10-foot radius of your computer.
Right.
Right. So you kind of want to spread your wings a little bit.
Sure.
So, and with that regard, with that in mind, people are doing photo projects. Now, I did one myself a couple years back.
Okay.
So I think 3 years ago now. I was still relatively new in Germany. I mean, I had been in Germany for a little bit, but in our town, we had moved here, and it was pretty quite new. Didn't know many people. Hadn't met Marquardt yet. And I needed like a creative and a commercial and a social kickstart.
Okay.
So that's what I did. Because the photography, like it's essentially storytelling, right?
Yes.
And I wanted to go find new, interesting stories to tell. That was my plan. So, having decided that the 365 project wasn't for me, I figured out that I was just going to shoot impromptu portraits of strangers that I met on the street.
So, sounds like a good idea.
I guess. But I mean, my plan was I would basically just walk up to people and ask to take their photo right there. Nothing, not like, hey, come back later when you're all dolled up or something like that. You know, or go, do me a favor, go over there and just do 20 sit-ups and then we'll take a picture. It's, I want to take your picture right now.
Right.
So, now at the time, my German wasn't that great. I mean, it's not like I'm writing Wagner fan fiction now, but I get along a lot better. So at the time, but point was, is I wanted to speak German to the people as well. So I did that.
Well, that's good.
But next, I needed to establish parameters. And this is what you want to do on a photo project is if you're creating your own, is establish the parameters that you need to shoot in.
Okay, and why is that important?
It's nice to have structure. I mean, otherwise, it's not really a project. If it's just like, yeah, I'm just going to go shoot 100 photos... Well, that's just 100 photos. That's not really a project of any sort.
Right.
But for me, I decided I was going to shoot 50 portraits in 50 days.
Oh, wow. That's like 50 and 50 is, you know, like a real landmark for hockey goal scoring.
That's right. I had that. You know what? I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah.
I think
you should get a shirt that says 50 and 50.
I think 50 in a season now is a pretty landmark hockey.
You never see 50 and 50 anymore.
No, I don't think... How often do you see 50 in a season?
Rarely now. Yeah.
It's rare. No, I chose... The reason I chose 50 and 50 is just because I was going to shoot them all with my 50mm lens.
Oh, okay.
And so I thought, oh, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shoot them all with my 50 1.4. And at the time, it was my 40D. I didn't have my 5D Mark II yet.
Okay.
So it was all with my 40D. So that made sense. Now, I didn't go and shoot one a day. I just didn't have the time. So sometimes I would shoot three or four in a day, but I would publish one a day.
Right.
So that was the plan.
Where did you publish them?
Online. I say publish, I meant like, you know, I guess that sounded awesome. Like, wow, in the newspaper? No, just on my website.
Right.
But that was before we were doing the show, right?
Yes.
And so I also decided that it was all going to be available light.
Okay.
You know, like we discussed in last week's episode, I was going to find light for these. It wasn't just going to be, hey, stand there, I'll snap your photo, but I'm going to go find certain situations. So I would walk into the old town, usually in the evening, because that's the best light, right?
Yeah.
And this was in May and June of last year that I shot it, or 3 years ago, I mean. And so I'd go into the old town in the evening and just walk around until I found a location that I liked. Sometimes I'd find more than one, but could really only use one that night. So like we talked about, I'd make a mental note to come back to that location on another day at the same time, because the light would be the same.
Right.
So I would just stake out like the one particular spot where the light was good. Like maybe there's light bouncing off a window and creating like a spotlight effect, or when the sun was setting in a certain area. Like I would remember what time the sun would set in certain parts of town.
Right.
Which sounds funny, but because we have taller buildings and lower buildings in certain parts, or where, what, which corridors the setting sun would shine through.
Right.
So I'd remember all these and basically, you know, try to be there at that time. And so I would basically stake out that particular spot and wait until somebody interesting would walk by.
Okay, yeah.
Now, sometimes I would wait and wait and wait, and the light would disappear before anybody interesting came by. So that was no fun. So I would basically go back to that spot the next day and try again. I can't tell you what I was looking for. That's the funny part, is when I would go out there and just wait for people to come by, you know, it wasn't the same thing I was looking for every day. And I don't know what it was. It wasn't like I thought, okay, I'm going to look for a guy with brown hair and glasses today. That's what I need. But it was something about just watching people and how they carried themselves, how they walked, maybe the look on their face, how they interacted with their friend, like something that sort of became appealing and thought, oh, this, they're going to photograph well. So I would basically approach them and then simply ask if I could take their photo.
And did people usually comply?
I expected I would get about a 50% refusal rate.
Right.
To make 50 photos, I had to ask 51 people.
Really?
I had one person say no. And they were a little bit older, and I think they thought it was some sort of a scam.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm going to take your picture, and then next thing you know, I'm taking your luggage out of your trunk or something. we've all fallen for that one, to be fair.
Right.
But no, and I tried to explain to them, no, here's my, trust me, it's, you know, it's free. Like, I knew how to say free and in German. But they were not falling for that banana in the tailpipe trick, I'll tell you that. But 50 other people did, and I couldn't believe it. Like, I was really shocked. And part of it was, like, I would tell them, you know, I'd give them a little bit of my story and tell them, you know, I'm a photographer, I'm from Canada. And that usually greased the skids pretty well.
Right.
Like, saying you're from Canada, no one's really upset at the Canadians. But no one's really upset at the Americans, really, either. So that's a whole geopolitical issue. Best save for another time.
Okay.
So anyway, so yeah, so I'd hand them my card, tell them what I wanted to do, and they're into it. I said, hey, listen, like, you can have the photo. Like, if you email me, I'll give you the photo both in small, like a web form, and the full size one. You get prints from if you want. So that was also part of the deal.
Okay, yeah.
So then I, once they said yes, I would direct them where to stand and where I had preconceived the light to be the best. And I had probably fired a test shot before they got there just to get everything dialed in, just to get the... Because I would have the whole shot in my head ready to go before they stepped in.
Okay, yeah.
So I'd have the camera dialed in. I'd have the proper aperture, everything like that, get it all framed up. They'd step in, snap the photo, and that was it. And I think the most I ever snapped was two images of one person. Like, everything else was just one and done. Yeah, because of all the pre-visualization, big word, it really help. You get that person in there, and boom, you're done. I mean, maybe you know, two pictures a couple times when I didn't like their smile necessarily,
or they blink or something.
Yeah, something like that happens. But other than that, it's pretty much right away. Like it just took a mere seconds to do. Some days the light was no good though. Like some days it didn't matter. Like I needed to take some photos that day and it was cloudy or just whatever's going on. Like, oh well, what can you do? Those usually became the black and white images.
Right.
So part of the whole challenge was to basically look for light. That was the thing. It's to look for different, like you want to find 50 different lighting situations in town.
I would probably just go back to the same spot every day.
See, that would also be an interesting photo project. But that's not what I happen to be doing.
That wasn't in the parameters.
No, that wasn't. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that one. That one would be, if you went to the same spot every day and just took a photo of whatever would happen there, that would be pretty interesting. In fact, I think that's been done on street corners. There's some famous one on some. I'm going to say it's in New York street corner, but obviously not that famous. So the other challenge became, you know, you want to make each picture its own thing. And so besides just lighting, you want to have maybe different framing or maybe, you know, do you want to shoot a full shot of the person or a close up or, you know, what are you going to shoot that day? So you kind of had to, again, all but pre-visualizing that. So overall, it was a great exercise.
Okay.
I enjoyed the working with strangers part. The being able to direct a subject, like get them hair, do this, stand like this. It was great because you're dealing with different people all the time. I mean, I'm sure your wife is tired of hearing, "Hey, stick your neck, you know, chin out," or whatever that Dwayne showed us. Your wife's probably had enough of that.
Yes, she has.
Yeah, your kids not so much. They're into it.
Sometimes, yeah.
But it was also good to learn, you know, to sort of preconceive a shot in terms of all the framing that we talked about. So that's a good exercise. And I actually got a wedding gig out of it.
There you go. There's the payoff right there.
That's one of the things, and I hadn't planned on that. Like, but my whole idea was it would be a great way to basically expand your social/commercial circle. You've now introduced yourself to 50 people, shown them what you can do, and you've just added that many contacts of strangers.
Just good networking.
It is. It actually is very interesting networking. And how often are you know, out in the street when someone approaches you and says, "Hey, can I snap your photo?" I mean, you all the time. But in general, most it doesn't happen. So it's kind of an interesting thing.
Something they can tell their friends about.
So you and I did this as a photo challenge like a couple of years back now.
Yes.
What was your experience on that? Did you have a good experience?
Yeah, it was a good experience. I'm more shy than you are. And so
I don't think that's true.
I think I think in this regard it's true. Like I almost feel bad about approaching somebody just because, you know, like I don't know what their time frame is and what they're doing, and I don't know, I just the idea of, oh, I'm going to, you know, interject what they're doing cuz what I'm doing is more important than what they're doing. I don't know, I have a sort of a hard time making that suggestion. Sometimes I have lighting set up and I'm out, let's say in Gary Point, nice setting, taking pictures of whoever, my wife, the kids, whatever. And people kind of wander by and they kind of, you know, sort of look to see what you're doing. And often in my mind, it crosses my mind to say, "Hey, would you like me to snap your photo? I've got everything already set up." I never make that offer. I don't know why. I don't know what stops me, but I think it's the idea of, they're just checking it out, and you know, who am I to bring them into the fold? So I don't know.
I hear you, and I feel the same way. And so the first few, especially, it was difficult for me, and even later, like after 40 photos, I still there sometimes be the difficulty of I'm not gonna bug that guy, you know, or she's talking to her friend. I don't know, what should I do? And then I found that once I would force myself and do it, that people were very happy to do so. Like, okay. They were happy to give their time. So I do recommend it.
Just push through and just, you know, do it is what you're saying.
This is, and now I'm going to start posting all these photos on our Facebook site a couple a day, just as a reminder of what, of, you know.
Of this particular session that you did. Like the project I shot photos.
Already, yeah, the one that I've already done.
Okay.
It's a really worthwhile project because of all the reasons I mentioned, but I highly recommend that people try this one. Because it takes you exactly what Adam's saying. It takes you out of your comfort zone. And once you're out of there, now you have to do something a little bit different. And it's a good learning lesson with very little downside. Like, you, as long as you don't ask anybody, you know, who's going to beat you up or nothing, I think you're good.
Okay.
I think you're good. So get a bunch of cards printed up and get out there and do this. You can do it.
All right.
Next week's photo challenge, Adam.
Okay.
You want to issue it? It was your idea.
Sure, yeah.
Do you remember what your idea was?
What's that?
Do you remember what your idea was?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's called a Zoom Burst.
Leave it there. That's all we need to know.
People can look it up, what a Zoom Burst Zoom is. Burst. I didn't know what it was, so I saw it in a photography magazine.
Okay.
And I thought, hey, this is something that I wouldn't mind trying. And I think we should give the option because it can either be done in camera or as in a post-processing way. So I think for the photo challenge, you know, either way, whatever
decide. Let's be honest. There's no chance I'm doing it in post.
You're not doing it in post.
There is a 0% chance I'm taking the time to do it in post.
Oh, I don't think it's going to be. It didn't seem like from the tutorial I saw that it would take more than a minute.
Irregardless, I'm not doing it in post.
Okay. I don't think it's labor intensive, though. I haven't done this yet, but I do not think it's labor intensive in post.
Okay, how many laps do you want to do before you land the plane here?
Three more.
Okay. I'm not doing it. I'm going to do it in camera.
Okay. I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
I'm Zoom leaving burst. The door open. I'm leaving the door open.
Oh, no. I'm giving myself parameters. That's great. Zoom Burst for next week. I can do it.
Okay.
Quick reminder to click through Amazon, click through our site to go to Amazon. And other than that, where can people find your stuff, Adam?
SchwartzChronicles.com, maybe. My wife assures me she's going to start posting again.
I just read the Christmas post that she put up this week.
Yeah. And then Facebook Two Hosers. I don't know how that works, but if you Google search Two Hosers Facebook, I'm pretty sure it pops up.
Well, if you go to twohosers.com, you'll find our Facebook and every other link on there.
There you go.
Including
I was just setting it up again for you.
Just teeing it up.
Where's your stuff?
Including my site at alanattridge.com. But Two Hosers, that's the important one. Go there and you'll find everything you want to know. So that's it. Adam.
Yeah.
No, that's it, Adam. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Yeah.
Until next week, get out there and make better photos.